Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 43 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at the Ankeny Office of Iowa Realty. They're located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is the proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Well, my only guest today is the head coach of the Ankeny softball team, and he is also a well-known sports reporter and broadcaster at WI-TV. He's been the brains behind the Dome Dynasty projects, which we are going to talk about a lot today. He's Dave Bingham. Dave, thanks for coming today. How you doing?
That's very complimentary, Dan. Brains, I don't know, but yeah, we'll take it at this point. I got a lot of people that are way more talented than me working on it, but.
Why not a team member?
Yeah. You know, Jesse Landau is really one of my partners in this, and it's really me and Jesse and I that put it together all the way from shooting to editing, but his skill set in the technology world that's changed, his cameras, his high def vision is what's really made it even more special. But I think it's the 20 years of relationships that, you know, has helped us get access and the trust of the coaches in the state of Iowa. So it's been awesome.
One of you guys have been working hard to get ready for the Dome Dynasty premiere of the Ankeny and Centennial Edition on Monday at the B&B Theaters in Ankeny. You told me earlier this month that you were still doing some final edits. You know, so are you guys, you know, ready now for the premiere?
It's funny because we were shooting some stuff Monday to get some generic B-roll to kind of fill in the gaps. And Kevin Cooney is the voice, so we have those great relationships. So Kevin, who was the main anchor at KCCI for years, had voiced it. We got it all edited. We just needed a couple of town shots, and I think a couple of people were like, "You're still getting video?" Yeah. Well, we wrapped it up. You know, we had it done Monday. And so the final product is done, and it is a labor of love, but what a great feeling when you have produced something. But Jesse's really the editor of the music and the sound, and he makes it work for the big screen. But it's a blessing to be able to do things like this.
I'm anxious to see it, and I do have my ticket, but for people who haven't bought tickets yet, you know, do you know if there are still some available? How can people get them?
They can, and the best way to do that, Dan, is you've tweeted out stuff on your Ankeny Fanatic social media, and all of our Dome Dynasty social media, Facebook and Twitter, you can go click on those links, and we have one out there that now that shows all three showings, Hawks, Jags, and the public showing. But if, you know, I think right now it's open game. If you want to go watch it with the Jags, you can click on their link and you can get in there. And that one's at 6, the Hawks, 5:30, and then there'll be a public showing right after that at 7:30. So the grand screens too. So I think it'll give you goosebumps even if you're somebody, I kind of almost feel like a native, I know you are, but I got here 20 years ago almost now, and it's weird how much it's changed. But I think for those people that are from a small town in Iowa, you know, it doesn't matter. If you go to it, you'll enjoy it.
I know you interviewed me for this
podcast. Yes,
I don't want to have a spoiler. Did I make the final cut?
Yes, you did.
Oh, awesome.
Yes, you did. And there are some people that didn't make the final cut. And that's just is sometimes the flow of it. But no, you're a big part of it because you really are able to have that perspective. But I think what people find out, the purpose of our programs, our activities here in Ankeny are pretty unified no matter what the school is. There's always different styles. But when all of that went through, I think there's a little bit that hits on the, you know, when it took place. And I think that you probably were able to convey that in the most fair manner so that everybody understands because of your character and your perspective. But I really think it's a small piece about what's going on now with the two schools. I mean,
sure.
But a lot of familiar, even Ron Sampson, you know, big wig around here. He kind of introduces us to the history of Ankeny. I mean, we don't want to floppy or anything, but, you know, Dwayne Elliott. But it's, I think it's enjoyable. I mean, we talked about the ordinance plan, you know, some of the big businessmen in here in town. So it's, but it gets right into the football, right into the split.
Well, you mentioned that this was a labor of love. You know, so how long have you been working on this project? Has it been like a year?
Yeah, I would guess about this time last year we started putting together the idea of what are we going to do. Ankeny was always on the radar just because I live here and I have strong relationships with Coach Pizzetti, Coach Nelson, both the fathers and the sons. And just with Ankeny Fanatic and all the people, Justin Luch, just it's a story that I think is ready to be told. I think the sky's the limit. When you do a project, you don't know what the season's in store. You don't know if they're going to win a championship or not. So we usually start kicking off with the idea, the concepts around this time. And then we start shooting and gathering information right before the season where we go to practices, start doing some pre-interviews and that. As we look to the future, if we start to build on it, I mean, it's something that whether we do a different town each week or we do eight-man football or whatever we decide to do for Dome Dynasty, I think it might become something year-round because of our social media numbers, you know, from the fall through the Dome. Just, I mean, it's crazy how many people are. So if we could continue that momentum or pick up other things or flashbacks, it might become a year-round thing.
Okay. Because this is the third Dome Dynasty project you've done, is that right?
Yeah, we did Valley Dowling the first year. Then we did Pella in 2017. And this is Ankeny. So it's, you know, it really kind of started with in 2000. You know, when we started doing the Blitz, and I always shot all these high school football games every Friday night, you know, whether we, you know, you covered them, you take a lot of pictures, and half the stuff that you would videotape that was really cool never was ever captured, you know, saved. And so I guess since I've been a kid, I'm just into the NFL films, the historical value of that. And so creating documentaries really was always something that I wanted to do, but it was the Ed Thomas thing. I think we talked a little bit about this last time, you know, when the tornado hit. And Be careful out there with weather season right now, but I didn't know how I could help him, so I really had my brother help me shoot every game, and we did that Ed Thomas documentary, and I had it edited and complete before his murder, but it's probably one of the greatest things and the greatest choices I've ever made in my life to tell his story. So I think when you do something like that, little pieces of this, I think are lasting memories of great people, the people that we cover, whether it's Jay McKinstry at Pella or Tom Wilson and Gary Swinson at those football programs on the West Side and our coaches here. I think they're great to get an image or an idea of really who they are, because I don't think we always do know until we set them down and interview them.
Sure. Now, how did this project differ from the other ones that you've done? You know, was it maybe easier just because you are right here in this town? Or I don't know.
Yeah. I don't. It's logistically, when you do two schools, that's tough. Pella was really interesting because we could just really dive in. Like we were, you know, when you're covering a team, you're their guy. Like that's our guy. He's there every week. So we have to bounce back and forth in between. So you lose a little bit of that cohesion. But I think it was interesting because everything that's went on in our community since we've had two high schools is there's competition between the two. So that was the great part. You could feel that. As much as respect there is for either one, they both want to, you know, have a better season and have bragging rights. And I think the mature adults in it get it, and you can understand that. They've got a great feeling for it. And I love how the kids are ornery about it, but they know that it's supposed to be that way. It's not real true. You know, it's not that Auburn, Alabama hate, you know, so to speak. But we captured them. We got them on camera saying, hey, you know. It's pretty neat. I like that. I think people appreciate that. They'll understand it's not super serious. But as far as ease, it's always tough, Dan. You and I, we live in this community. I coach on the South Side. I'm great friends with the Bozzettis, always have been. And so I think that we accept those people for who they are. And I'm glad that everybody trusts us, you know, because that can be difficult, you know, if you don't have that trust.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Well, now, how many people do you think you interviewed for this edition of the project?
Holy moly. We're in the probably close to mid-20s, I guess. So we tried to get, you know, we really left it up to the staffs. We submitted, you know, all the kids that they could, and I think a lot of them that we submitted, some of them couldn't even make it, and they even asked. So it just depended on who showed up. But, you know, we were looking at 2 or 3 hours. No, boy, maybe 3 hours at each school that we spent. So almost 6 to 7 hours of post-interviews along with the interviews that we did during the season.
Well, you're obviously very familiar, you know, with the Ankeny football programs, you know, for many years. So I'm sure you knew a lot of the highlights and the backstories, you know, before you dived into this project, you know. But did you learn some things, you know, from diving into this story that maybe you didn't know? Right.
Yeah, I think you learn a little bit, and I think that will be revealed kind of in the documentary, why the coaches made some of the choices they did, what they're thinking about the other school. So those are things that will be revealed in there that I think are really, really good. I think the maturity level of the kids understanding as they grew up through Ankeny Junior football that the split was happening and their ability to understand it, I think is really intriguing. And I think they all kind of have the same perspective on it. So, and they really, really do like to give each other a hard time. So I like that about the kids.
Oh, sure. We said you had to make some cuts, you know, so how long is the documentary? You know, did you have to cut out, you know, a lot of good content just to keep the runtime, you know, reasonable?
Yeah, you do. I was in a hotel room in Florida for my daughter Gabby's first softball tournament in late January when I was pouring through all of it. And I kind of cut it down into the sections. And, you know, from there, we keep cutting. So there are some kids that had some stuff to say, but it gets a little bit repetitive. Sometimes they're saying the same thing. So you have to take the best television. But I hate that. I like to put, so if Jesse would say this too, if I was editing it, it'd probably be two and a half hour documentary, right? We got it down to about 70 minutes, I think. And I think that's perfect for our environment. But yeah, a lot of good, funny. There's some really funny stuff, Dan, that it just doesn't really have a place. But, you know, I suppose we could someday release some bloopers tape. There's some fun stuff that we couldn't put on there, but it just didn't fit in the project.
Sure. We said that the first show's at 5:30, the next one's at 6, so obviously they're in different theaters.
Yeah, two grand screens. And I think they're going to have some backdrops and stuff so you can get your pictures taken, like a little bit of a red carpet. We don't want to go too crazy, but so the Hawks will start early 5:30, and they're going to have like a meal deal there of some sort. So if you're running late, I think you run up and like for 10, 15 bucks or something, you can get a meal there. So get there around 4:30 or 5 if you want to eat and go through the line. And the great thing about that is you can kind of like take your sandwich in there. Those big chairs. Have you been in there?
I've not yet.
Oh my gosh. I'm a movie nut though. Yeah. I mean, we went and saw, I think, Bohemian Rhapsody there. I'm amazed. I mean, we obviously have one of the most cutting edge communities in the country, but just to go in there, it just feels, and this is, if you've never been there, just to go to this, I mean, I think you'll just be amazed. What a great thing that we have in our own town here now.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
When I have the premiere on Monday, will there be some other showings of the documentary, or will there be a way for people to purchase their own copy of it?
This is a big part of, you know, digital age. What are we going to do with our content? You know, I have content for so many years over all the things that we've shot. So I think we're still a work in progress with how we're going to release this, whether, because it's at the Iowa Hall of Pride. The Iowa Hall of Pride's our big partner. Taylor Anderson, who has coached in this town, is his wife Holly is the middle school AD. Her dad was Rick Wilco, who ran the high school association for years. Such great people. Our project lives. I got a kiosk. Jesse and I have created a kiosk down at the Iowa Hall of Pride, 52-inch monitor. I'll announce when it's down there if they ever want to go down there and watch the entire thing on the island. So it'll always be at the Iowa Hall of Pride for that reason. You can always go because we even got our own center, like our own wall down there dedicated now. So the other two projects live and breathe down there right now. And our week by week account of what we did this year, longer versions, like 5-minute episodes that aren't even part of the documentary, are in that kiosk as well. So there's more content like you were talking about that maybe didn't make the cut that is available at the Iowa Hall of Pride. So make sure you get down there and check that. That's a great facility. And I've been working on that since it opened and I'm blessed. But whether we create a digital archive for it and right now, whether we work with a corporate partner to maybe provide those DVDs to the kids, we're still working on that. But that's something that selling DVDs and selling media is a little bit difficult because you got sales tax. You're like, where do you sell it? I don't have a store. So we really don't. We'll be, that information will become available once we work it out, the details.
All right. One of you guys have obviously been busy for the last year working on this project, but you're always looking ahead to the next one. You know, do you have the next Dome Dynasty project?
Boy, we're taking suggestions. I mean, we could just do Ankeny every year, right? Wouldn't that be fun? Jesse and I think we're really at the peril of working with the state, taking a look at it. I have one more year for sure. I think if they'll let me do the Friday Night Blitz one more year. I've obviously been lucky to do that. This will be the 20th year. And I'm looking forward to that. And I know they're going to be doing some special stuff with the Parkersburg thing because Ed's 10-year anniversary of that terrible, tragic day is coming up. So it's hard to be able to do this project if it's not local. And stories locally are difficult, whether it's a Van Meter or Madrid, or we'd like to do something small again. But we really want to have somebody that's either consistently been to the Dome or has that experience. So, PCM's coming off a big championship, but they've not really been a consistent. They've gotten there, just not a consistent. So we're taking some ideas, and obviously, at some point, we're going to do the Harlins, the Emmitsburgs, you know, West Lyon. I mean, we want to do those, the Bettendorfs. We want to do everybody at some point. And that's going to take funding and more growth in our Dome Dynasty corporation, so to speak.
Before I shift into some other topics with you, Dave, is there anything else that people should know about the showing on Monday that we haven't already talked about?
Well, we talked a little bit about Jesse, who's really the key to this whole deal without him as a partner. My brother's always been a a big supporter. He has his own digital company, Bing Bang Media, and he's always been helpful. But Bob Selby, you know, you remind me a lot of Bob, one of my best friends growing up. I always felt like I was dumb because he was so smart. He knew everything. And he just shows up and does our play-by-play. And Dan, he is the only, I think, broadcaster in the world that does sideline play-by-play. He's done it since we started doing the Blitz Extras in 2007. He's got a roster. He does the play-by-play. He's got a little of his own, you know, style, but it's just, I think he's there, but he's not there. He carries the broadcast. So I couldn't do it without Bob. We've had people like Gautam Bierman, who's a former Ankeny High student that comes and helps us. I have friends like Todd Stites, Chad Fager, Rick, Jeff Brooks. They just come help, you know, and so I can't do it without those people. And of course, the support of my wife, she's the one that lets me do all this stuff. But
sure.
But I think for the Dome Dynasty mostly, it's just the Pizzettis and the Nelsons and then Brett Butcher and Scott Jarvis, who's doing an amazing job there, just helping us in every way.
Well, if you want to take a quick drink or something, I have a promo here.
Okay.
Take a quick
drink. All right.
The Iowa Finance Authority 2019 Mortgage Credit Certificate Program can save Iowa home buyers up to $2,000 on their federal taxes for the life of the loan for first-time home buyers. This program awards a tax credit valued at 50% of the annual mortgage interest paid and is available annually as long as the home remains the buyer's primary residence. Dave Lewis of Home Services Lending and the Iowa Realty Banking Office is a participating lender. You can call Dave at 515-321-5913 for questions. He also has a variety of products that can handle all of your loan needs. Well, Dave, I also wanted to talk a little softball with you. I'm hoping to be going here a little bit to watch one of your former players, Allison Ducey. She's playing down at Drake tonight, you know, depending on the weather.
Yeah.
Now, Allison is just one of many former Ankeny players who are now, you know, competing at the collegiate level. And she's certainly had a great career, you know, thus far. Are you surprised at all, you know, by the amount of success she's had?
You know, Dan, I think as a coach, and I forgot to thank Iowa Radiology and Ankeny Junior Football, Carl Chevrolet, or some of our other sponsors for Dome Dynasty that partnered up with us.
Got to do that.
But, you know, I am a dreamer. I think anything can be accomplished if you really think about it. And with Allison, whether it's Allison, Kendall, Brooksy, PD, KT, you know, my daughters, you know, the destiny is not a matter of chance. It's a matter of choice. And, you know, it's not something you wait on, something you seek. Allison, whether it's Allison, Shayla, you know, the pitchers that we've had over the years, the amount of work that they put in, is just amazing. Tina D'Angelo has been a big part of that. And she's at Drake now, obviously. But Allison, there's just no question. I mean, I don't know how many times we would discuss, I'm like, you want to play college, right? You know, and it was just, there was some uncertainty, you know, that she did. But I wouldn't be surprised if at some point, you know, they get hot here late, and with Renee Gillespie there now, Danville native, Rick Dillinger coached her in high school, and he's on the staff now. And Renee was amazing to my daughter when we went down on a recruiting visit. And I think had my daughter not been injured her first year at Central or at Northwest Florida State, you know, she might have ended up over with Renee over there but she's an amazing coach, an amazing person. And they've really done a nice job with Allison, trying to keep her healthy. And they've had a little rough patch here. But I think if Deuce gets some run support, they get some confidence. I mean, I think the sky's the limit. I mean, I think they're a team that could sneak into a, you know, regional and do some great things. Whatever she ends up doing or not doing, her purpose is strong. So we're thankful for that. But not at all surprised. Had to get right when she got there. She had to kind of carry the load. Shayla was doing a great job, but she just worked herself. I mean, the amount of work that they have to put in and their health. I just, as a coach, as a parent, the amount of energy and weightlifting and all that they have to do, their bodies, if they can hold up, our pitchers. But I look for extraordinary things, even late this year. Get her a little bit of mental break, a little rest, and she's tough in the postseason. She did a great job last year, pretty injured. She had that big injury late in her senior year with us, and I think that was a big moment for her to learn, like, okay, I can still be great even with this injury. And so she's tough in the postseason. I look for her to do something special with the Hawks.
When you mentioned Kendall, too, she's enjoying another outstanding season after transferring from Minnesota to Florida. You know, that move seems to be working out pretty well for her, doesn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, we don't always get to pick our coach, and I think that's the one thing when you go to a school and the coach leaves, it's difficult because it gives, you know, those athletes a sense of pause. I mean, Alistair, the coach that was there, was one of the best recruiters I'd ever dealt with. During Kendall's freshman year when she had all those homers for us and set a state record, she was there. I mean, she was there, and she went to Stanford. I think it was difficult. And when that news hit, man, I mean, I didn't know that. I knew that there were new rules in place, but I didn't realize they put themselves in kind of a lottery. So, I mean, my phone was blown up all of a sudden on that afternoon. I'm like, what in the heck is going on? And I had some big time, you know, and I had some coaches asking me questions. And so I would text Kendall. I'd be like, hey, this coach wants your information. Is that okay? Yes, no, you know. So she, it's so weird, Dan. You said 30 years or something the other day. And, you know, she was 7 or 8 when the first time I coached her. And the greatest thing her dad did, let's not give Trent a lot of credit, but he's a great guy, a good friend of mine. You know, they bring a hit away. You ever seen those big metal poles with a, you know, just a ball that you hit and it just spins around, comes back? And, you know, Kendall's 7, 8 years old, didn't talk, didn't say anything, caught for us, didn't even have to squat down, just sat there and caught. And she's standing up when she caught Kaplan back then. And she just go there and hit on that hit away. And I'm always like, you know, these parents spend all this money, they do all these things, but maybe buy your kid a hit away and just let them square up the ball so that, you know, they get on plane. But, she's a neat kid, and just a couple of notes we've shared this spring have been really cool. But she has a chance, I think, to play for the USA Olympic team. I've always thought that, and I think this gives her a real opportunity. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Well, I'm sure you've also been busy doing some off-season workouts with your team, and I know the start of the season is still about a month away. But you know, do you feel pretty good about you know your team's potential?
Yeah, we really do have strong purpose in our program. I think the girls have outlined that. So as a coach, you really have to know, and I think this is a good message for parents and every activity that we have. I mean, if you have a successful year, if you don't win, what is your purpose so that the kids understand why we're here? And that way they'll enjoy it, whether we've won the state championship or not. But there is no question, I think, whether you're track coach, whether you're bowling coach, or if you're in this community, your goal is to win a state championship. I mean, why else would you do it? When you look at the great people before us and the gals that have played softball before us, you know, and what Coach Rasmussen and they were able to establish, that has to be your goal. We don't harp on that too much. And I think we're at the point right now with our depth that it's really real. Like if we can get ourselves back to those positions, that it's going to become part of who we are. And I think sometimes those results have to happen to get that feeling. But we got 5 great seniors. They all can play college softball if they want. 4 of them are for sure on their way. One's kind of looking at some JUCOs today. We have a great returning pitcher. Dan to have, you know, pitching and defense. We've got it with Shelby Chambers and Paige Jacobson. And Paige Jacobson has like 30-something ACT. I can't even. So she's an interesting kid that we've coached for years. She just went over to France on an exchange. And I think she's really passionate about art and other things. So, with those 2 kids, though, they're so unselfish and they have such good body language as far as the way they pitch that they're going to give us some games that, you know, that'll get us to a 30-win season, I would expect. But, and we've got the bats, too. We've got some injuries and we have some things moving around. But I also have, you know, Zoe Baker, senior Anna Boyd. They're going to Simpson, going to Indian Hills. Maya Mathis is visiting. She's a catcher, visiting some schools today. 5 great seniors, that really decides what your season's going to be like. But we got a pretty special junior, and, you know, you talked to Jody Long the other day, some great athletes are great people. You know, Jasmine Rumley's one of those kids. And so when she shows up on our softball field, you know, she's all in. But we want her to swim right now because you're talking about another kid that can do something that's never been done in our school's history. And she's a special kid. So when Yaz shows up, she hits balls out of the park, and that's a good thing too.
Yep. Well, now your former assistant, Brad Delaney, has been hired to take over the Centennial program. I know you're going to miss him, but did you find somebody to take his place?
Yes, Sarah Saladino. Grew up in Davenport West. Her dad was a legendary coach over there. Had like, I don't know, 12 sisters, it feel like. But she is just a tough a kid, and it reminds me a little bit of like Amy Farmer Shannon. So I really have good chemistry. Worked the track meet together last night. I'm excited what she's going to bring. Obviously, Brett and I are brothers, basically. You know, we're going to share in everything that we do. We're probably not going to have any secrets. I think it's really interesting to have a coach and, you know, I suppose a rivalry. But there's a lot of love between our families. I mean, we do everything, a lot of things together. My kid watch his kids. I think there's always going to be a really strong relationship. So that'll be really neat. because he's a committed guy and this Centennial program is going to have a strong purpose. But yeah, Sarah, I think she's a head coach at Waterloo West, she found her in our district. All of a sudden, she was teaching at East, you know, and I was like, what are you doing in our school district and not on my staff? I said, you're going to be on my staff. And she's like, oh, okay.
Worked out.
Yeah, it sure did. I'm excited.
Well, you've been telling me for a while that Brett was ready to become head coach, so I'm sure you're, you know, happy that he got this opportunity now.
Yeah, he's a great guy, and I don't know how he manages. He's got three young daughters, too. They are very busy. His wife, Ashley, is amazing. But he is he has always been a head coach. You know, we've basically been co-head coaches together. I feel like, I mean, we've shared everything, and I'll do the same thing with Sarah. I mean, I'm not the sage on the stage. Like, this is how it's got, you know, that's not how I operate. I really lean heavily on them because when I ask them a question and they repeat what I'm thinking, it really galvanizes what we're doing. Or if they bring up some things that I don't, but Brett will bring a sense of family. He will really bring a strong culture to that system. And he's an educator. I mean, I was teacher of the year, I think, a couple of years ago. And it's because he's always working on doing something new, growth mindset. And I think all of our coaches in our district are like that. I think you have to be, or you're not going to last very long. So good for him and good for Centennial. I mean, the only downside for them is they're going to lose two games every once in a while to a team on the south side.
Or maybe even four. You guys play four games.
Yeah, when we play the doubleheaders. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that would be fun when we play against each other. I think I'm going to really enjoy it.
We also want to discuss a couple of other sports topics with you. I know you're a big Seahawks and Red Sox fan. The Seahawks made some big news the other day when Russell Wilson signed a contract extension that made him the highest paid player in the NFL. You know, what did you think of the deal? Were you getting worried that maybe it wouldn't get done?
Yeah, I don't tweet. And I was like, I tweeted a tweet that just said, hey, Seahawks, Russell, get together, talk, give him what he wants, get it over with. I don't get too worked up about anything. But this, when you grow up with the allegiance of one team, and who's a Seahawks fan in Iowa? Not too many people, but I just decided in 1976 when I saw their logo. I mean, I knew the Steelers and they were my team, and I was a Lynn Swan guy, Walter Payton guy. There's people I like, but as soon as the Seahawks started their franchise, I was all in. But Russell Wilson is a beyond football type guy. I mean, he's got some relevance, I think, in the world that's just really special. And my daughter Josie and I are going to Seattle her senior year for our senior trip. My other daughters, you know, went to, you know, Mexico or whatever with mom, or to Florida for some special spring break trips, because that's what you do in Ankeny, right? You go on a spring trip with your senior year. But Josie has been a diehard through and through, my sophomore. She'll be a junior next year. So I started to get panicky because I thought, how in the world are we going to go to CenturyLink Field without Russell Wilson walking through those doors, you know? And I just think that if they ever just turn him loose, it'll be exciting. So I'm very, very pleased that they got the deal done. I don't care if they paid him the most money in the world. I mean, it's just whatever it took. I didn't care.
I don't know what their other option would have been if they hadn't signed him.
I know. What would you do? I mean, Jim Zorn's not coming back. I mean, so Dave Craig stuck around for a long time. But I think there's some moments where you question, like, okay, we can replace this guy, you know, and that happens whether it's a safety or linebacker or whatever. But that guy, Russell Wilson, really? I don't think you can replace him. Just the way – and I think, Dan, just the way he talks – the way that, and some of it's rehearsed, but he really believes it. You know, when you talked about whether Allison was going to be great or not, that's what I believe it's possible. And I think that that's the way Russell Wilson walks around, and he backs it up with pretty strong work ethic.
Oh, he does. Well, then just a quick note on your Red Sox. They're obviously off to a really slow start after winning the World Series last year. You know, are you worried about them at all, especially Chris Sale? I mean, boy, you just can't get anybody out.
I don't. Isn't that weird? You know, I mean, especially with him and Price and just some of the things you look at. But I think Mookie Betts is an interesting character on that team. I think he does some of the things that Russell does just automatically because of his personality. So I think it keeps that team loose. But yeah, I talked to a couple of Red Sox fans last week, and I'm like, should I be panicked yet? Because everything I have going on with Doan Dynasty and, you know, softball and all that, I don't follow it daily like I normally do. But I do think once we get in mid-June and I start looking at our schedule and start looking at our postseason pairings, that's when I kind of look at the Red Sox and go, okay, where are we? So I'll really get dialed in probably about then. But coming off a World Series, you know, you just really can't get too worked up.
No, try being a Twins fan. We haven't had a World Series for like 20 some years.
I know, it just seems so like when they were doing it back then with that team, you just thought, oh, they're always going to be in it. They've been sniffing it, but I kind of like their makeup this year.
They got a chance, I think.
Yeah.
They're in the right division. I mean, they got a chance to do something.
Absolutely.
Division, I think.
Yeah.
So. Well, hey, the last thing I want to talk to you about is a more serious subject.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've had to tell the story dozens of times, but I've never heard it. And I'm sure a lot of other people listening haven't heard it either. When I was doing some research on you, I discovered that you were part of the news team at WOI that was involved in an electrical explosion back in 1997. I remember hearing about that incident at the time, but I didn't know you then, and I didn't put two and two together until I came across a Register article that kind of recounted that story last fall. So after refreshing my memory, you know, basically, you know, you're pretty lucky to be alive today, aren't you?
Yeah, and I think when you think about everybody's going through those near-death experiences or health issues, and, you know, all of us have those, you know, whether it's you or mine was just a little more, I guess, noticeable when it happened. But when those things happen to you, I have a great wife. I had great kids. We only had Kathleen at the time. And so I think I was doing things the way I wanted to live my life. I was doing things right. I think what it does, it really hones you in on what's super important to you and what you're going to give your time and that you let some of those other things go. But yeah, we'd just come back to Iowa in June of that year. I got hired at WOI. I tried forever. I was working at a TV station in Montana and Wyoming. We had a great time out there. My wife's folks were out there. And I wanted to get into sports in that market. And the sports people, one of them was my best friend, and the other one didn't get a job, so I could never get into the sports office. I was a news reporter. I did weather. I did a lot of things. I did play-by-play radio. I did ball games. I did everything. And got back here in 97, so I was doing news. And my hope was to get into sports in this market. And, yeah, that day, I don't remember. It's kind of weird. It's like the soap opera thing. I remember a little bit. I was the reporter. I just remember that. That's all I remember. And the last thing I can actually take is being in the ambulance from that day. I remember bits and pieces of it. And Kimberly Arms Shirk was the other reporter that came and did the filming for us that day. And her and I both, and some Sean Sondelier, and oh gosh, there was just a lot of Stephen Myers. I mean, they came and pulled us away from the live truck. So without them, I don't know if we'd still be here. I have no idea, you know, what happened that day, but I remember waking up in the ambulance and the two guys in there with me are like, hey, what's your wife's name? I'm like, Kim. And they're like, no, what's your wife's name? Because the reporter that was with me is Kim, and so was my wife. And I remember actually, because I'm not one to get riled up too much, but I'm like, my wife is Kim Bingham, Kimberly K. Carter Bingham. They're like, oh, okay. They started to figure it out. So then I remember being in the hospital, you know, emergency room kind of, and my wife came in and she was pretty shook up because I don't think I looked good. I mean, I was 60% burnt, and that's why, yeah, I'm not going to be at the beach with my shirt off. I still got a lot of scars, and that's why I wear this arm sleeve. So when Allen Iverson came out with the arm sleeves, it was the greatest thing for me because I didn't have to wear that Jokes garment anymore. And still a lot of people are thinking, oh, yeah, Bingham thinks he's so cool with that arm sleeve. But I wear it to cover up my right arm.
There you go.
And so when she came in there, and I just told her, I said, everything's going to be all right. And, yeah, it was a lot of surgeries. You know, it was a 12-hour surgery where they took the lat muscle. So I couldn't swim against Jasmine Rumley right now because Dr. Lester Yen told me, he goes, when I take that out, you're not going to be able to swim in the Olympics. I'm like, okay. So they take the lat muscle out of your back, and they put it on my arm because I lost so much tissue on my right arm. So that's why I'm wearing the arm sleeve, people. You know, it's not for because I think I'm cool or anything. But yeah, it was one of those things that, you know, when you look back on it, it's probably that September 3rd. It's probably more of a birthday than my regular birthday. And I had that 20 year, you know, last year and 20 years. Boy, yeah, very lucky to be here. So yeah, I still have some exit wounds. Sometimes you can see them on my legs if you look real close. But yeah, pretty lucky to be standing. That's for sure.
I'm sure that changes your perspective on things, doesn't it? I mean, you really do feel fortunate just to be here, right?
Yeah, you still have, like everybody else. I mean, especially when you get older, too, you have a lot more people relying on you. And as a coach and as a business person, you want to satisfy. And I'm a pleaser person. I want to make sure we get things done. And I don't like to turn things down. And so I think that really is my main objective as a person that's still standing on this planet is to try to serve people to the best of your ability and just to have overall good character. I think, you know, people are always going to question coaches, they're going to question, you know, family, whatever. But I think most people know that my character is like, really, I'm true to my heart. I'm trying to do what's best for you and your kids. And I think that's the one thing that moment probably did for me, is to define that everything I do, I'm going to do it in the best way possible.
Well, in that story that I read, obviously your coworker, she had even the worst of it, right? Because she's had like dozens of surgeries, hasn't
she? Yeah, she had way more. Kimberly had way more right afterwards. And but man, did she come out of it looking just wonderful. I mean, compared to what we thought could happen. And she's got a great family, and they live in Lincoln, Nebraska. And things are going well for her and Chad. And she's wrote a book and does a lot of giving. And she's just an amazing person.
Glad to hear it. Well, Dave, I'm going to cut you loose.
Yep.
On that note, we'll take enough of your time.
So. Yeah, Dome Dynasty, man. You got to come see that Monday night.
We'll be there Monday night. I'm looking forward to it. So we'll see you then.
All right, thanks.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Ankeny office at Iowa Realty closed in excess of $250 million in real estate in 2018. Their agents represent over 20 new construction builders and communities all over the metro. With interest rates at historic lows, would you like to know what your home's worth in today's market? If so, you can give them a call at 453-5800. That number again is 453-5800. I want to thank Dave Bingham again for coming in to be the guest this week. Enjoyed the conversation with him. Come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.